you'll turn in your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter number 11, please. Luke chapter number 11. And it's just amazing how when I was thinking about what to speak on this night, we were thinking about the subject of prayer and just how everything is dovetailed together on this. With the upcoming prayer meetings that we have for the revival meetings and so forth, and that's the Lord. Only the Lord can really just fit it all together, just not like we can, but just like He can. So we just are grateful for that. Let's read the scriptures, and then we'll start off in prayer. Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Let's pray. Father, as we come here tonight, we just ask you to quiet our thoughts, our hearts, and prepare us to hear from your word, but even more so from that, teach us to pray and how we need to know how to pray and to get a hold of you and get a hold of the throne of, come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need and that our prayer life will be more like yours. Lord, we do pray for the upcoming camp down in Peru this coming week and even now the preparations that are being done on that. And Lord, may your hand watch over it. May you be victorious during this time. Pray for Pastor Meter and his health down there. Just restore him the strength for his lungs and the oxygen that he needs to be able to minister and do what you've got him to do down there. And we just want to lift that up to you even in this evening. For we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Have you ever noticed how at the beginning of every message, Pastor Donnie starts out with an illustration? You remember this? He always got some kind of snappy illustration, some neat illustration. I said, I got to do that. When I start that tonight, I said, I got to be like Pastor Donnie here and do one of his illustrations. And I found one. The illustration goes like this. According to the International Listening Association, within 24 hours, we forget half of any information we've heard. 48 hours later, we've forgotten 75% of it. And we don't grasp everything we hear in the first place. But these numbers change when what we hear is repeated. And the more it's repeated, the better the numbers look. The reason I say that, or I preface the message with that, is that back on June 12th, a Wednesday night here, I spoke on the subject of Jesus' prayer life. It was a Wednesday night, and we talked and we looked at the example of Jesus' prayer life. And we only looked at one scripture that night. There are 15 different incidences in the Bible where Jesus is shown as praying. And on that night, we looked at the 12th mention of Jesus' prayer, which was Jesus' warning to Peter in when he said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you." And this is another way that the Lord just really worked that out, because that was our Sunday school lesson up here in the adult class this morning about Peter and how Jesus was proactively praying for Peter, that Peter's faith would not fail. And so we looked at that on that night, and Jesus' prayers got answered. By the way, Jesus' prayers always get answered. And his prayers got answered that with Peter that night. It might not have seemed like it, because Peter's faith did fail, and Peter's life was a mess that night, and Peter was proud and basically made all the mistakes that you could make that cause you to fall. But Jesus' prayers were answered, because afterwards Peter was turned again to the Lord. That's what the word converted means, to turn again. And Peter also did strengthen his brethren in the founding of the church in the book of Acts, and as he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter, strengthening the church against persecution and against false doctrine. So Jesus' prayers always get answered. They always do. But tonight, what we want to do is we want to look at this portion of Scripture, which actually is the 9th mention of Jesus' prayer in the Bible. This is the 9th time that it shows where Jesus is talking about prayer or involved in prayer. And he says, and the title of the message, of course, is "Teach Us to Pray." Teach us to pray. What we want to do here is, but before we do that, in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place." So the disciples had just come from the house of Mary and Martha. If you look back in chapter number 10 and look at verses 38 through 42, we have that familiar story of how Jesus was at the house of Mary and Martha, and the Bible tells us that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word in verse 39. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." So this is the context. Just after this, he was praying in a certain place, and he set the continuing example of communion again with his heavenly Father before the disciples as they saw him praying in a certain place. Jesus had been spending time continually praying, and the disciples saw his example. I've thought to myself, which disciple was it that asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray"? And then I got to thinking about the fact that it's kind of sad that all 12 of them were not saying to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And only one of them was asking him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And that was a rebuke to me and in my heart to just say, "Lord, I really need to learn how to pray." And believe me, when you speak and stand up in front of people and discuss the subject of prayer, it is very humbling and is very sobering as you see the deficiencies in your own prayer life. But I believe that the one that asked him, I can't say this for sure, but the one that asked him was probably Andrew. Because the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 40 that Andrew was there with John the Baptist and most likely one of John the Baptist's disciples. Who better to see the prayer life and the teaching of John the Baptist than one of the people that was his disciples? But the Bible doesn't say for sure which one it was. I mentioned last time I spoke on this And I just want to list this out again really quickly here, because this just is, it's just such a, it's been such a blessing to me. A summary of Jesus' prayer life, a summary of his prayer life. I got the got this information, and it was just a from a phenomenal book called Quiet Talks on Prayer by a man named S.D. Gordon. And he highlighted the and summarized Jesus' prayer life. And let me read these off to you again here, just so that we can keep this in the context of what Jesus was saying here. Jesus' prayer life summarized. Number one, his times of prayer. Early in the morning, late at night, all the night, when all was quiet, and before and after important events. Secondly, his places of prayer, the desert places, the mountains, the solitary place, the hilltop on the back of Nazareth, the hillsides overlooking the Sea of Galilee, the slopes of Mount Olivet, always a quiet place. Thirdly, his constant spirit of prayer, while alone, while in a dense crowd, while in the presence of his disciples. Fourthly, he prayed in the great crises of his life, before the battle with Satan in the wilderness, before choosing the 12 disciples, at the time of the Galilean uprising, before the final departure from Galilee for Judea and Jerusalem and in Gethsemane. Fifthly, he prayed for others, and he still does. Sixthly, he prayed with others. Seventh, the greatest blessings of his life came while he was praying. The Holy Spirit came upon him at his baptism. He was transfigured while he was praying. Three times, a heavenly voice of approval came while he was praying. And in the garden, a heavenly angel came to strengthen him as he was praying. What an example. Jesus said in John 13:15, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. The context of that is Jesus washed the disciples' feet. But who better to give us an example of a prayer life that we can model our lives after? And I'll be the first to admit that I don't have that kind of prayer life, and I doubt any of us really have that kind of prayer life like Jesus had, but what an example to model our prayer life after. And what we want to look at first here is how, and Jesus is teaching, how not to pray. How not to pray. We're going to flip over to Matthew chapter number 6. If we can turn over to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6, first point here is how not to pray. Matthew chapter number 6, in verse 5, Jesus says here in teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount here, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So in verses 5 to 6, the first way not to pray is to be seen of men. To be seen of men. And we certainly saw the poor example of the Pharisees as they stood out on the, you know, in broad view, looking, asking everybody, just look at me while I'm so spiritual and I'm praying. And he really encouraged his disciples, don't be like those hypocrites. Don't be like them, not to be seen of men. And not only in your prayer life, but even in those things that you do for the Lord. He also talks about them as when you do your alms, when thou doest thy alms in verse 2, don't sound a trumpet before thee. So Jesus taught praying not to be seen of men. Secondly there, in verses 7 and 8, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore alike unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. We don't need to say the same phrase over 100 times or 500 times in our prayer life. God knows and understands, and it's just so much better to just be yourself and not try to put any canned phrases into your prayers and actually asking or thinking that you ask because you say a certain phrase enough times that God's going to hear and answer that prayer. Not with vain repetitions, Jesus calls that. And then thirdly here on how not to pray, look at verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So thirdly, how not to pray, not with a bitter and unforgiving spirit. A bitter and an unforgiving spirit. Nothing kills the prayer life, I believe, quicker and faster than bitterness in your heart and an unforgiving spirit. Jesus said so here. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I know it hurts to get hurt, but I know it also is a whole lot worse to bear bitterness and a root of bitterness in our hearts. How not to pray? Not to be seen of men, not with vain repetitions, and not with a bitter, unforgiving attitude in our lives. And when we have that in our hearts, what's the best thing to do? Pray. Go to the Lord and get it right. Confess it. Turn from it and ask for His grace to forgive and to move on and to do the will of God and to keep going on. Now back, let's flip over back over to Luke chapter 11 again. So that was point number one: how not to pray. How not to pray. And then back in Luke chapter number 11, point number two is how to pray. How to pray. And the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. The sense of the language here is teach us to continually pray. Not just one time, it's to continually pray. In essence, this disciple was saying to Jesus, teach us to pray, in other words, what to say. Teach us how often we need to pray. And teach us to pray at all. Instead of trying to bear all the burdens of life on our own shoulders, just teach us to pray. And note how Jesus responded here to this. He was delighted to teach about prayer. It says in verse number 2, he went right into him, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. So Jesus was delighted to be able to teach prayer. And it says also, and he said unto them. He didn't say it just to the one disciple that asked him. Jesus took this opportunity. Well, one of you guys is wanting to know how to pray. Well, guess what? You're all going to learn how to do it now. He says he taught them in this. And there's a lesson in that. When Jesus taught others, he was very specific in his teachings. And notice the specifics that Jesus taught his disciples in this how to pray. Firstly, he says, when you pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, may we, as we come to God, respect and hallow His name. It is hallowed in heaven. It should be hallowed on earth by God's people. Of all people, it should be hallowed by God's people. How often in the day-to-day course of our lives do we hear God's holy name blasphemed and taken as a curse word and taken in vain? And when we come to Him in prayer, we should be asking that God's name would be hallowed, reverenced, holy, and to remember who we're talking to, instead of just flippantly, off the cuff, talking to God, to stop and remember we're talking to the Creator, and the sustainer of the whole universe, the hallowed name of God. He's taught them, hallowed be thy name. that we might treat his name in a respectful, reverent way. Psalm 111, verse 9 says that holy and reverend is his name, God's name. Holy and reverend is his name. Secondly, he said to them, in verse number 2, he says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. So he was instructing them to ask the Father to bring about his kingdom. And for us today, as it is, that we might be looking for Jesus to come for the church, and eventually after that, he will be setting up his kingdom. We know that from Scripture, after the Lord Jesus comes at the rapture of the church, at the end of the tribulation period, the kingdom of God gets set up, the millennial kingdom, with Jesus certainly as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So to bring about his kingdom, Revelation chapter number 22, verse 20, even so come Lord Jesus, right at the end of the Bible. You know, even so come Lord Jesus. And the other thing I like about the book of the Revelation, you know, the Bible is an invitation book. All throughout the Bible, there are many, many times where God says, invites people. And God just finishes it off at the end of the book of the Revelation. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will. It's an invitation book. It's an awesome thing as you just read the Scripture and see all the invitations that God gives to mankind. Then he says verse number 3, I'm sorry, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. So we need to ask the Father to do his will and to be willing to yield to his will in our own lives. Jesus set that example in Luke chapter number 22 when he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Now, if there anybody that could have, how do I want to put this? Is if there anybody that set the example but didn't deserve what was going to happen to him, it was Jesus. But he still, in the midst of all of that, said, thy will be done. Thy will be done. If you closely read the gospel accounts and look at some of the words that are used of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when it talked about him being greatly distressed, greatly depressed, and so forth. If you read some of those words, they build on one another. It's unimaginable the emotional turmoil that Jesus was going through at that point in his life. But still, thy will be done. Wow. Wow, what an example. Then, verse number 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. Give us day by day our daily bread. We need to ask our Heavenly Father to meet our daily provisional needs. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we all know it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In Philippians 4:19, God still promises, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Then he teaches us in verse 4 that how to pray, that we ask God to forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. So ask the Father to forgive our sins as often as we need it, and for the grace to forgive others who trespass against us. Thank God for the Christian bar of soap. For Christian bar of soap, 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to ask the Father to forgive us our sins as often as we need it. And then he says to ask the Father to lead us not into temptation, but instead to deliver us from evil. To deliver us from evil. And when I read that, when he says deliver us from evil, I think about three things. I think about, firstly, deliver us from committing evil. Deliver us from committing evil personally in our lives, in our words, in our thoughts, in our actions, and not yielding to the tempter. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God still tells us that he's made a way of, make a way of escape. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So from committing evil, deliver us from the evil of committing evil. Secondly, from deliver us from evil happening unto us in this present evil world that we're living in. And this present world that we're living in is an evil world. The world system that we live in is an evil system. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver us from evil. Also, deliver us from evil men. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So deliver me from committing evil. Deliver me from evil happening unto me in this present world. And then thirdly, deliver us from the evil one. We all know who the evil one is. The Bible tells us that Satan, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. By the way, that word devour means to gulp down, to gulp down. Do you ever get one of those drinks? I don't know where they had it at. It's called the Big Gulp. You know, you go in there. And some of you know what that one's about. And it's big, huge drink, and you're just gulping that whole thing down. Well, devour means to gulp down, really is what the word literally means. And Satan, we know, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. James 4:7, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then we all know Ephesians chapter 6, where God tells us and instructs us to put on the whole armor of God. So asking the Father to lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. Committing evil, evil happening unto us, and the evil one. So point one here was how not to pray. Point number two here was how to pray. And then point number three here that I want to try to get across is how persistent to be in prayer. How persistent to be in prayer. We see that illustrated here in verses 5 through 13. But before we look at that, I want you to just jump over to Luke chapter 18 really, really quickly here. Luke chapter 18. How persistent to be in prayer. We have two great examples here in Scripture about persistence in prayer. And the first one is in Luke chapter 18, the widow's persistence. The widow's persistence. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, in verse 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? In other words, that kind of faith that is just as persistent as that widow who was bugging the daylights out of the judge and just would not let the judge go until she got a yes answer. And I just think that that is a great example of persistence in prayer, how persistent to be in prayer. with the widow's persistence. Now jump back to Luke chapter number 11 again. Okay, jump back over to Luke chapter 11. So we saw the widow's persistence. Now we see the friend's persistence. The friend's persistence in verse number 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine on his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. A couple of things that I want to bring to your attention here is in verse number 8, Jesus uses this word, importunity. Importunity. And importunity is defined as someone who is shameless, reckless, audacious, and one who knows no restraint, and who is basically somebody who you would look at in a crowd and say, that guy's got some nerve. He's got some nerve to do what he's doing and say what he's doing. That's what the word means. It's audacious, someone who is reckless, shameless, in boldness in their going to the person that they want. In this case, was the one friend who needed the bread from his other friend. And Jesus followed this up with these two verses in verses 9 and 10, and he says, and I say unto you, ask. Literally, keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking, and ye shall find. Keep on knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. We can see that he meant that in verse 10. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. In your King James Bible, it is a wonderful thing to see in the Bible here that God gives you the tense or the continuing tense in here, asketh, seeketh, findeth. And it's one of the beauties of the King James Bible. And Jesus taught how persistent and how frequent they should be praying. There are people in the Bible there are many instances of people in the Bible that asked with importunity. Let me just list some of these off for you here. Abraham was importunate, had importunity with the Lord over Sodom and Gomorrah. Jacob was persistent in not wanting in wanting to not let go of God until God blessed him. Moses was very persistent in going to God and interceding when God wanted to destroy Israel. Gideon was persistent in asking clear direction from God. Hannah was persistent over her barrenness and wanting a child. Ezra was persistent over Israel's sin in his prayer to God. So was Nehemiah, and over the shame of having a broken down wall. David was very persistent in coming to God, as we see in many of the Psalms in his life. Daniel was very persistent in Daniel chapter 9, crying out unto God in the midst of for Israel's God dealing with Israel's sin. Habakkuk in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 2 was very persistent, crying out unto God and asking, why the judgment? The Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15 was crying out unto God over her daughter, over the Lord for her daughter. Here in Luke chapter 11, we see the man with no food being persistent in his request. Not that this was a prayer, but Delilah was a perfect example of really wearing out Samson when she was trying to find out the secret of his strength. She was just on and on and on him, and he finally just got fed up and said, "All right, here's where my strength is." The woman who needed justice in Luke 18 was persistent. Jesus was persistent in the Garden of Gethsemane as he cried out unto God. And the Apostle Paul was persistent over his thorn in the flesh. Three times he besought the Lord. And what examples these are to us of persistence. Sometimes when we pray, if we don't get an answer to our prayer, the first time we ask, we just give up. You know, and Jesus is saying, that's not the way to pray. He says, you got to dig in and be persistent in prayer. And this is what Jesus taught, so forth. Now, if you look at verse 11 through 13. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, Jesus said this to his disciples, and they were going to be praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit, which happened in Acts chapter number 2. So that was one meaning here of what he was talking about. Pray for the Holy Spirit to come, because he was going to come. He was promised. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 also says that we are to pray for the filling of the Spirit of God, or we are to be looking to try to be filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, or filled with the Spirit. Literally, allow yourself to be continually controlled and filled by the Spirit of God. That's the sense of the words there. Allow yourself to be continually filled with the Spirit of God. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, thirdly, the Holy Spirit's power for us to be able to be a witness to him and to live the Christian life. And at the end of verse 13, it says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Continually asking is what it's referring to here. Continually asking, continually. So how to pray? How not to pray, firstly, how to pray, secondly, and how persistently to pray, thirdly, here. And I thought of a few applications on this that we can just kind of consider for ourselves. Jesus prayed without ceasing. Secondly, Jesus obeyed his Father without ceasing. Thirdly, Jesus put his prayer time first in his life. He got out a great while before the day and got alone. Fourthly, he got alone to pray. Fifthly, he prayed when he was frustrated. How often do we pray when we're frustrated? We ought to pray. It's one of the first things we should do. He prayed when he was frustrated. He prayed over great decisions in his life. He prayed when bodily and mentally weary. He prayed for help to teach his disciples. He was transfigured as he prayed. He rejoiced and thanked God in prayer. He taught how to pray. He expected to be heard and answered by God when he prayed. He sought for God to be glorified when he prayed. He prayed for those facing temptation, like we saw in what he said that he had prayed for Peter, that his faith fail not. He was not ashamed to pray before other people. He was not ashamed to pray before other people. Just give you another example about that. Do you ever have a situation where you're out in public, in a restaurant or something, and you run across someone, and you just take a time right there to pray? You ever have that happen? This past week, my wife and I were visiting my son down in South Carolina, and we were in a restaurant, and our waitress talks to us, and she starts kind of breaking down and crying, and she had a number of different family issues going on in her heart and in her life. And at the end of our time together with us, right out in the middle of the restaurant, it's just great. We just kind of huddled around her and just, we called upon God to help her through the struggles that she was having in her heart and in her life. But Jesus was, he was not ashamed to pray before other people. Jesus prayed when greatly distressed and depressed. He prayed for his enemies. He prayed during the darkest hours of his life. He prayed in faith, committing himself to God, and Jesus' example should be followed by us. Are we going to be as perfect as Jesus' prayer life? No way. But you know what? It's a great example, and we can take something out of this to be able to kind of help us in our prayer lives. And I'm just going to finish with one more quote from this book, and I just thought that this was really a great quote to finish by Mr. Gordon about Jesus's prayer life. And he said this: how much prayer meant to Jesus. It was not only his regular habit, but his resort in every emergency, however slight or serious. When perplexed, he prayed. When hard pressed by work, he prayed. When hungry for fellowship, he found it in prayer. He chose his associates and received his messages upon his knees. If tempted, he prayed. If criticized, he prayed. If fatigued in body or wearied in spirit, he had recourse to this one unfailing habit of prayer. Prayer brought him unmeasured power at the beginning and kept the flow unbroken and undiminished. There was no emergency, no difficulty, no necessity, no temptation that would not yield to prayer as he practiced it. Shall not we, who have been tracing these steps in his prayer life, go back over them again and again until we breathe in his very spirit of prayer? And shall we not ask him daily to teach us how to pray and then plan to get alone with him regularly, and he may have opportunity to teach us and we the opportunity to practice his teaching? Lord, teach us to pray. Father, we are so grateful now for this time here tonight. What a challenge, Lord, your word is. What challenge your example is, Lord, to our prayer lives. And my, how we need to draw nigh unto you. Even as we consider in the upcoming weeks preparation for the meetings coming up, how we need to pray, and yet how we need to pray tonight and tomorrow and through the day and each every day that we live. Lord, teach us to pray and just work in our hearts and in our lives by your grace, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.